Tonight on the Worldview Report, we've got breaking news on a key January 6th provocateur who the government hopes we will forget about. His name is Ray Epps, and a J6 prisoner who had interaction with Epps on the ground that day has come forward with a tell-all letter. Why is the FBI hiding pivotal video footage of the J6 pipe bomber who has never been identified or arrested, and why not? A federal judge has ruled that your hard-earned tax dollars can and should be used to provide gender-mutilating surgeries and hormone treatments to transgenders who can't afford the treatments themselves. Dr. Fauci, well, he's been caught in another lie. Remember when he vehemently denied funding gain-of-function research at labs in China and took offense that Senator Rand Paul would even ask him such a question? Well, now the truth is on the table. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis continues to play hardball with the left. He announced he's terminating a Soros-funded state attorney who refused to prosecute criminals. We've got all these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. I'm your host, Brennan House. We start off tonight with an exclusive analysis by Revolver News that appears to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the FBI is in possession of, but has refused to release, security camera footage of the January 6th pipe bomber planting the pipe bomb at the DNC building at 7:52 p.m. on January 5th. This extraordinary revelation should be the immediate subject of congressional inquiry as to why the FBI has stonewalled release of the footage. Revolver News released an executive summary of the missing footage condensed in this video. Watch this.
This is the DNC pipe bomb. According to the FBI, it was planted the night before January 6th at 7:52 p.m. on the north side of this park bench. The FBI has released two clips of the pipe bomber at this scene from two different security cameras. Here are a few shots of the surrounding area so you see the perspective. Let's call these benches Bench 1 and Bench 2. And let's call the two security cameras that the FBI has released footage from Camera 1 and Camera 2. Camera 1 shows the pipe bomber walking up to the DNC grounds at roughly 7:42 p.m. He sits on bench 1. Then he gets up and walks off screen. According to the FBI, he walks the length of the DNC building, and 10 minutes later, he comes back to the same bench area and sits on bench 2. There, at 7:52 p.m., Camera 2 captures the pipe bomber sitting on bench 2 and, we are told, planting the pipe bomb by the side of the bench, next to the bush. We are told the pipe bomber plants the pipe bomb there, but we can't see it. Camera 2 is occluded by a giant bush that blocks the scene. The pipe bomber even looks at Camera 2 head-on, for some reason. It's very frustrating, because we can't see the moment the pipe bomber plants the pipe bomb, but the FBI can. That's because the whole scene should be captured on Camera 1 as well, and much more clearly than Camera 2. Camera 1 has a clear shot of both benches. If the FBI released the full tape from Camera 1, we could see the pipe bomber planting the bomb. Why is the FBI hiding what the security footage from Camera 1 of the pipe bomber at Bench 2? Do they not want us to see the full scene? Isn't there a $100,000 reward? Don't they want our help to catch this guy?
Why? As described in the video, the stationary camera overlooking the DNC park benches from which the FBI released a clip on March 9th, 2021, is time-stamped approximately 7:42 p.m. on the night of January 5th, 2021, and it should have a clear picture of the pipe bomber reaching into his bag and depositing the bomb by the right bottom corner of that park bench. All the FBI needs to do is show the same video camera's footage from a spot 10 minutes later. It's very odd that the FBI would withhold the pivotal camera view of the J6 pipe bomber, don't you think? What is it that they don't want the American people to see? We urge you to call or write your congressman and ask them to demand this video be released in the interest of transparency. Staying on the topic of January 6th, we turn to the mysterious character, Mr. Ray Epps. Epps allegedly told a protester that day, while standing on Constitution Avenue, quote, "You have a megaphone. You need to tell people the plan. We are going inside," end quote. The protester Epps was speaking to was J6 defendant Sean Michael McHugh. McHugh has been held unlawfully in the D.C. Gitmo for over a year now in inhumane conditions, while Epps roams about free. McHugh, a father of four and a California business owner, faces two misdemeanors, eight felonies, loss of licensure, and decades in prison. Now McHugh has written a tell-all letter about his experience meeting Ray Epps and the observations made on the J6 mystery man, who the FBI doesn't want you to talk about. The Gateway Pundit has published McHugh's letter, written from his cell in D.C. Gitmo, detailing his repeated encounters with Ray Epps and the burning question, why has Epps evaded charges when those who did far less have been charged with so much? McHugh ends his letter by asking several probing questions that we'd all like answers to. Quote, "I wish to put Ray Epps on the stand to answer the tough questions. Why is Ray Epps not in jail for inciting the crowd or obstruction of Congress or seditious conspiracy? Where is equal application of the law? Who was he there with? What were his motives and who does he work for? Why did he keep repeating that we need to go inside, not only a day before January 6th, but even after being met with police force outside the Capitol? Why am I being treated harshly and Ray Epps is free to go when he was clearly more involved in the events of January 6th. God bless America," he writes. "Pray for justice. Pray for truth. Thank you for supporting my family and I during these hard times," end quote. In other news, a federal judge ruled this week that taxpayers must pay for gender transitioning surgeries as well as hormone disrupting and puberty blocking drugs so that poor people can have treatments to change their God-assigned gender. The case came up in the state of West Virginia, where a federal district court with a Clinton-appointed judge declared the state must allow transgender patients covered by Medicaid to receive gender-transforming surgeries, reasoning that individuals with a gender dysphoria diagnosis must be treated the same as those suffering from other medical conditions. The Washington Times reports that U.S. District Judge Robert Chambers for the Southern District of West Virginia said it was discriminatory for the state to ban such procedures from Medicaid recipients while allowing others who do not have a gender dysphoria diagnosis to get the same surgeries, such as a mastectomy or vaginoplasty. This, of course, is insane. Under the state's policy, a woman with a cancer-related diagnosis could have a mastectomy, but a woman pretending to be a man who desires to have healthy breasts removed could not do so under Medicaid coverage. To most folks, that sounds like common sense. Unless, of course, you're a cultural Marxist trying to destroy the nation and sitting on a bench as a judge. We have a bombshell report this week out of Florida, where Governor Ron DeSantis continues to tread where no other Republican governor appears willing to go. DeSantis made a gutsy move on Thursday by suspending state attorney Andrew Warren, who has refused to enforce the law and has let criminals get by easy in Florida's 13th Judicial Circuit. Warren is a George Soros-funded prosecutor, and DeSantis has had enough of him. DeSantis said Warren has violated his oath of office. Watch this.
The Constitution of Florida has vested the veto power in the governor, not in individual state attorneys. And so when you flagrantly violate your oath of office, when you make yourself above the law, you have violated your duty, you have neglected your duty, and you are displaying a lack of competence to be able to perform those duties. And so today we are suspending State Attorney Andrew Warren, effective immediately.
Warren has repeatedly said he would not prosecute individuals who help children procure sex change procedures, and that he would not enforce pro-life laws. He's also accused of releasing rioters and other violent criminals, refusing to prosecute them if their crimes fit his own personal political agenda. In his executive order, DeSantis slammed activist attorneys like Warren and their focus on, quote, personal conception of social justice over what the laws require of you, end quote. In health news, there's a blockbuster report out at the National Pulse that confirms what we already suspected, that the National Institutes of Health has admitted that Echo Health Alliance, a research partner of the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which, by the way, funded by Anthony Fauci, carried out gain-of-function research and failed to report the findings, quote, as was required by the terms of the grant, end quote. You'll remember that Fauci flatly denied that U.S. taxpayer dollars went to fund any gain-of-function research in China. His denial spewed forth with much venom during one of those epic confrontations with U.S. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. The Johnny-come-lately admission comes in a letter from Principal Deputy Director of the National Institutes of Health, Dr. Lawrence DeBock, and it's in response to Congressman James Comer's inquiries. His inquiries about a controversial multi-million dollar grant from Fauci's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases to Peter Daszak's Echo Health Alliance. The National Pulse reports that the coronavirus-focused grant ultimately led to U.S. taxpayer dollars funding Echo Health Alliance's, quote, longtime collaboration, end quote, with the Chinese Communist Party run lab, believed by many to be the source of COVID-19. So the obvious question now, when is Fauci going to be charged with lying to Congress? Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. We'll be right back after this break.
Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. During these times, your support has meant everything to us. My employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. For example, you can get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99 a set. That's a savings of 60% and the lowest price in history. And remember, they're made with the world's best cotton, grown where the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet. They come with my 10-year warranty, and I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $39.99, the lowest price in history. If you do it right now, I'm also going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Welcome back. Walmart recently confirmed that it's laying off about 200 corporate workers as part of a restructuring process. When's the last time you heard a report about layoffs at Walmart? A company spokesman told Fox Business, quote, "We're updating our structure and evolving select roles to provide clarity and better position the company for a strong future. At the same time, we're further investing in key areas like e-commerce, technology, health and wellness, supply chain and advertising sales, and creating new roles to support our growing number of services for our customers, suppliers, and the business community," end quote. The news comes a little more than a week after the company lowered its profit outlook for the second quarter and the full year as soaring inflation takes its toll on the retail giant. We reported in our previous newscast here at the Worldview Report that a whistleblower provided documentation to Project Veritas of the corruption inside the FBI, showing how the agency has been weaponized against patriotic American citizens. The whistleblower revealed FBI training materials that listed the Gadsden flag, the Betsy Ross flag, and many other mainstreams of American history as being symbols used by Americans involved in, quote, "militia violent extremism," end quote. On the day after the report came out, Senator Ted Cruz grilled FBI Director Christopher Wray. Watch this.
"Yesterday, it was reported that Project Veritas had obtained a copy of an FBI training material, which listed various symbols and themes which, in the FBI's estimation, were indicative of, quote, "militia violent extremism." Now, these symbols weren't things like the Ku Klux Klan or the Nazi Party, which naturally would be symbols of that, but instead they included, rather astonishingly, patriotic symbols of our nation and our history. Included on this list is the Betsy Ross flag. Now, that's fairly remarkable that the Betsy Ross flag in the FBI's indication is indicative of militia violent extremism, because among other people who have been publicly alongside the Betsy Ross flag, we have President Barack Obama, who was sworn in directly underneath two Betsy Ross flags. But it's not just President Obama. We also have President Biden, who was sworn in under Betsy Ross flags. Also on this list is the Gadsden flag. The state of Virginia has a license plate for the Gadsden flag, as do many other states. I think people would be astonished to find that having that license plate, the FBI indicates that you're a violent extremist. Also included on this is a text that I was particularly struck, is the Gonzales battle flag. Come and take it. I will self-report right now that every day in the Senate I wear my boots that have the Gonzales battle flag on the back of them. Director Wray, what are y'all doing? This makes no sense. Do you agree with this FBI guidance?
Well, Senator, I'm not familiar with the particular document you have behind you, and I'm not in the practice of trying to comment on documents that I haven't recognized, but I will tell you that when we put out intelligence products, including ones that reference symbols, which we do across a wide variety of contexts, we usually take great pains to put caveats and warnings in the document that make clear that a symbol alone is not considered evidence of violent extremism.
As usual, when an FBI director gets slammed with the truth, he pleads ignorance. This is a level of corruption typically seen only in nations at the end of their lifespan. We reported last week on the Nation of Israel moving to phase out the use of cash money in favor of digital money. Now, we have news out of Greece that it is following the same course. The Counter Signal reports that the Greek Ministry of Digital Governance announced that it is rolling out a digital currency tied directly to a new digital ID system. The ministry stated, quote, "After entering the application environment, the citizen can, with a few clicks, create and save the digital copy of his ID and or driving license. First, he chooses which document he wants to issue. And then he receives a one-time password via SMS, which he enters into the application. Immediately after, the document is created and saved in the application and in the wallet of the mobile phone, end quote. According to the ministry, the authenticity of digital copies of people's IDs is then verified using QR codes, which officials can scan at various offices and municipal buildings, as well as at the, quote, entrances to concerts, planes, etc. They go on to write, quote, after the citizen approves the check, a six-digit code appears on the screen of the application, which he must dictate or show to the checker, who in turn enters it on his own device, end quote. How, we ask, is this any different than the digital vaccine passports that were introduced last year in many countries and in many U.S. cities? While it appears the digital wallet is only being used as a substitute for driver's licenses and other basic ID cards, the government openly admits that it intends to expand the wallet to be more all-inclusive. The Greek Ministry of Digital Governance writes, quote, in the future, more documents are going to be added to the application, such as registration details, registration fee payment details, vehicle technical inspection results, and next inspection date, insurance details, etc., end quote. The digital governance minister also stated that the government is, quote, creating a system for banks and telecom providers starting October 1st, as well as for agencies requiring the user to show an ID. A digital trace will be created instead of copies of one's ID, turning into digital proof, something that has been a burden to provide in physical form, end quote. Safety and convenience, ladies and gentlemen, safety and convenience. That's the mantra that will get many to go along. Whenever they want us to take another step closer to the end times B system, it's always for our safety and security and convenience. In other news overseas, protesters took to the streets in the city of Thembisa, South Africa on August 2nd, lighting tires and torching city buildings while blockading roads. The protests have been sparked by out-of-control inflation and rising food prices. Several deaths have been reported. As reported by Africa News, quote, there were two fatal injuries in the protest action, which took place in the early hours of the morning, end quote. That's according to a city police spokeswoman who added, quote, it is alleged that they were shot, end quote. You can see the level of chaos in this video.
Live visuals.
By the end of the day, the police spokeswoman said two more bodies had been discovered near the entrance of a burning building, bringing the total number of dead to four in one day. The monkeypox shenanigans continue to escalate, and as if on cue, the Biden regime has rung the bell of emergency that will allow Democrats to engage in the same voting shenanigans that they used in 2020 under the cover of the COVID emergency. The Biden regime officially declared monkeypox a public health emergency on Thursday, August 4th. And Health and Human Services Secretary, well, during a phone call with reporters, he declared, quote, I want to make an announcement today that I will be declaring a public health emergency. We're prepared to take our response to the next level in addressing this virus. We urge every American to take monkeypox seriously and to take responsibility and help us tackle this virus, end quote. That one word, folks, emergency, has served as a loaded gun in the hand of countless dictators throughout history. And history certainly seems to have a way of repeating itself. Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge asked a very pertinent question in connection to monkeypox, which, by the way, is spread almost exclusively through gay sex. He writes, quote, are they going to also institute a stop having gay orgies for 2 weeks to stop the spread, end quote, policy, given the precedent set during the pandemic that those spreading a virus should make wide-ranging personal sacrifices for the greater good, end quote. Check out these figures on how monkeypox is spread, according to Dr. Peter McCullough. Notice all the mortality rates there in Dr. McCullough's tweet. Not one. No deaths so far in the U.S. from monkeypox. Zero. But this is their emergency that they want, and they want us to change our voting procedures for them. We'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell. Years ago, when I invented my pillow, I was faced with every adversity you could think of. No retailers wanted to sell my pillow. That's come full circle. Vendors took advantage of me, and I was copied by China. Well, by the grace of God, I was able to get through all that and learn from it. I have a passion to help other U.S. entrepreneurs, and that's why I created my new platform, MyStore.com. We have hundreds of products from amazing entrepreneurs, and to celebrate, I'm going to put my pillows on MyStore.com right now. You can get my standard My Pillows regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get my standard queen size, regular $79.98, now only $29.98. Or you can get my premium king size, regular $89.98, now only $34.98. So go to mystore.com and use that promo code on your screen to get huge discounts on all my store products. Thank you and God bless.
Welcome back. Now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. I know you've heard this phrase and probably detest it as much as I do, that Senator Joe Manchin is a moderate or even a conservative Democrat. In interviews, Manchin often plays the role of a moderately conservative, independent-minded senator who's just looking out for the people. But is that really the case? After Manchin agreed to support Chuck Schumer's trillion-dollar bill that was labeled in true Orwellian fashion as the Inflation Reduction Act, some researchers took a look at Manchin's voting record. This bill would not only increase inflation, it will raise taxes and double the size of the IRS, which will use the new army of agents, about 87,000 of them, to audit hardworking middle-class families. While no one would deny that Manchin has often frustrated Senate Democrats on key issues, the truth is that he holds out until the last possible minute and then almost always cuts a deal with those very same Democrats on the extreme left. In the end, his overall voting record is closer to the party line than many other Senate centrists. Manchin, according to an analysis by the liberal ProPublica, he voted with Senator Bernie Sanders 88% of the time in this Congress, and Senator Elizabeth Warren 91% of the time. He also agreed with Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on 91% of votes. So remember these numbers, provided, as I said, by a liberal news outlet. Remember them the next time you hear anyone try to tell you that Manchin is anything but a liberal Democrat. Well, that's our newscast for tonight. We are your trusted news source, the Worldview Report. If you appreciate our report, please consider sharing it with other family and friends. And please, make a contribution to what we're doing by going, well, to either wvwfoundation.com and making a contribution of any size, wvwfoundation.com, going to mypillow.com, making a purchase of sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, anything else there that you need. Make great gifts, housewarming gifts, wedding gifts, but use that promo code B66 and we get credit and you get savings. Use the promo code B66. It'll save you up to 66%. And we get credit, and it's a big part of our general operating budget. You can also go to wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. You'll find emergency supplies there, including freeze-dried food with a shelf life of 25 years, wvwtvstore.com. These are all vital ways to support this broadcast and keep it going. So next time, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. May God save America. Take care.